Okay, yeah, I'm gonna start. We are on the last line of Kuflin Dalet Amud Beis. So, again, we're gonna ask on the Shita of Shmuel. But to go back to remember what Shmuel said. Shmuel said yesterday that a person can be sochet, a person can squeeze a cluster of grapes onto a plate of food, basically, but he can't squeeze it into the bowl. The idea is being that the concept of Shita is extracting a liquid from a food. So if you take the liquid directly onto the food, so you basically goes from food to food. It's not going from liquid to food. We're considering it's going from food to food. So Masiv Ravina. Now Ravina is going to ask a kasha on Shmuel. Masiv Ravina is going to bring from a Mishnah in Taharos. Tamei Mace. So the guy is Tamei Mace. No? His touch, everything he touches is Tamei. Shesachat Zesim va'anovim kebetza michuvenes tahor. He's there and he's squeezing. Let's say he's squeezing an olive. That's exactly the size of a kibetza. So we say that the mashke that comes out is tahor. Reason being, Rashi says, he says, Mishnah hi dinasecha taharos, umifarish ba behedja, which is a wovachlo yiga b'mashke. As long as he doesn't touch the mashke, because then that's a problem. He's only touching the olives. The kevan, the beitza michuvenes hi, since it's exactly a kibetza, l'chisachet tipa kamaisa, when he squeezes out the first drop, right, chasula michabetsa. It's now less than a kibetza. The ena ochel afa pishu tamei, and even though the ochel itself is tamei, right, it cannot be metame hamashke. It can't be metame the stuff that comes out. She ein ochel metame chayim pachas kibetsa. The ochel itself is less than a kibetza. It can become tamei. It can't transmit tuma. Aval im hayanagei b'mashke, it may lashmim tipa rishon. If he touches the mashke, then the mashke gets tamei right away. She mashke mekabel tuma kolshu, because the mashke itself can become tuma bekolshu. If it's bigger than a beitza, it can be tamei. Right? So the idea is that it comes out. All right, it comes out. The person has not touched the mashka itself. He's only touched the food item, and the food item that he's only getting, it cannot. The food that became tamei does not have enough of a shear to transmit, because immediately when he begins to squeeze it and some liquid comes out, it diminishes in size. Right? And ochel cannot be metame other things if it's less than a kibetza. Right, so let's go. So ha, it's mashma from here, that if the grape or the olive that was squeezed would be yotzer mikibetza, if it was larger than a kibetza, then the juice that would have come out from it would be tame. Right? So it's tame. Well, therefore you see, right, Rashi says, it makes it tamei, and it basically says that there's no distinction between where you're squeezing it in, where you're not squeezing it in. Is it a food item? Is it not a food item? But iamart mashke habala ochel ochelu. And if you're going to tell me that food that when you squeeze it out onto something, it stays as a food item, right? If it stays as a food item, so it was never a liquid. So how did that liquid become tamei? It was never mashal kabotuma. Nothing fell on it, right? V'yamart mashka v'ala ochel ochelhu, but my it kashar. How is this mitzvah hukshal kabel tuma? So who mostly who mefarikla? No, we're talking about here. Besuchik tocha ka'ara. Here you're talking about where you're squeezing it into the bowl. You're squeezing it into the bowl, not onto the food. You're squeezing it into the bowl. That's what we said before. That's what Shmuel says. That's still a liquid. And if it's still a liquid, so I guess it's hukshal kabel tuma from the other liquids. It's considered a liquid. Hukshal kabel tuma. Fine. Now, the question you're going to have over here now is whether a liquid that's coming to the taking ochel, to fix up food, to do something to the food, is that considered a liquid? So Amar Rav Yirmiyah Kitanoi, it's a machlokas tanaim, with a Mishnah in Maisros. You have a guy, a baker, who's machlik ba'anovim. So he's trying to sort of to smooth out, basically he's going to put like a layer of grapes over the bread. He squeezes the grapes, right? He wants to make a nice, I guess, sort of for baking purposes, to squeeze the grape juice over the bread. So machlik ba'anavim, the lo hukshar. So that food that got all this juice on it now, is that food hukshar kabel tuma yet? Well, if it's a liquid, yes. If it's an ochel, it's not. So machlik ba'anavim, lo hukshar. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, hukshar. It is hukshar kabel tuma. So my live hakim, let's just say this is what they're arguing about. Mar, the Tanakhama, says that it is lo hukshar. Savar, he holds mashke habala ochel ochelu. This food that's going to be put on the ochel is considered an ochel. It's halachically not a liquid, and therefore it does not machshel kabel tuma. Right? Mar savar mashke bal ochel ochelu mar savar lav ochelu, and therefore it's considered liquid and it's machshel kabel tuma. So Amar Papa, no. Papa says no. Kule alma mashka bala ochel lav ochelu. Everyone agrees it's not ochel, meaning it is mashka. So if it is mashka, it should be mashka l'kavel tuma. Why does one man say it's not mashka l'kavel tuma? The hacha b'mashka habali ibukamitlugi. We're talking about a case where you're using the juice for the and the express purpose of the juice is to go to waste. I don't know how this is necessarily going to waste because it's being used, but it's not sticking around as a liquid. It's being squeezed in to be baked off. I guess when you bake it, it burns off. Mar sava mashkehu, and therefore it's mokshul kabel tuma. Umar sava lo mashkehu. It's not mokshul kabel tuma because it's not considered a mashke. Right, Rashi says it's because it's nischat adaita de azuli ibud. It's nischat, it's squeezed out with the intention that it's going to go to, not to waste, it's going to be lost. So, or shove over sofro, because the fire is going to burn it off. Gemara says, now say, uplukta dahani tanoi. This machlokas tanoim that we just had is the same machlokas tanoim that we're going to bring down in a brisa. This anya of the following brisa. Hamifatseya bizesim biyadayin misovos. So, it seems to me now like he's bruising the alas with tummy hands. Right, he wants to soften them up. Rashi says shekadeshi yurakim, so he bruises them out. Right, and I guess some oil and some liquid comes out from the zesim. So hukshar. So now the zesim are hukshar kavatumah from its own liquids. But if he is bruising them lisoftam memelach, if he's bruising them, I guess not for the purpose of the liquid coming out, but he's bruising them in order that they could be dipped. Rashi says. So mitosin kashin ina melach nidvak them. When they're hard, the salt doesn't stick to them. When we fat some, the rakikan mivachutzmat. He wants to soften them a little from the outside so the salt will stick to it. So low hookshar. The zesim are not hookshar kabel tuma because the guy never wanted the oil to come out. There's nothing to do. You have to want the liquid to come out. So leida im higiu zesav limsok imlav. If he is, I guess, bruising them to see whether or not the liquid will come out with ease by them. So also low hookshar, because in that case we're going to say that the point of squeezing and getting the oil to come out is going to be ibud. He has no purpose for the oil. There's no need for it. He just wants to see whether it's coming out, so it's going to waste. Rav Yehuda Omer, Yehuda says no, it is hookshar. So my love hakim yitzki marsal mashka omer the ibud mashka. One guy says, Rav Yehuda says it's still considered mashka because it's still liquid and you still want it to come out. You're just not going to use it. And Marislaver lav mashka, it's not considered mashka until you actually get the benefit from the liquid. So Amar Rahuna Breed the Rav Yoshua, he goes, no, Hani Tanai, the Tanaim in the Brisa, the Mashka Obi the Iba Pligi. Yeah, you're right, Eina Khanami. The Brisa, that's the machlokas. Whether Mashka Holy Ibun is considered mashka. The Hanach Tanai, but the Tanaim in the Mishnah Masechas Maisos that we brought down, about putting it on, put the baker using it. That's mashka ha'omer l'tzach shokemiflegi. They're not talking about this case. Their machlokas is different. You could say everyone holds that mashka haba l'tikon ochel, right? The dafk over here, the problem is that here, the point of the liquid, I guess, is to make the sort of the tzura of the bread. So that may not be considered liquid. Rashi says... Right, exactly. Hani tanoi. Rashi says the mifatz avad the mashkam leibu pligi. I mean, about tanoi the machlik lava omen leibu pligi. The lava leibu azel. That's what we said before. It's not going to waste. The liquid's staying there. Sharei litzachtech ha'ochel natanova harei mitzachso. To put some sort of beauty or form on the bread, and it did it. It did its job. Ela b'mashka omen litzachso la'ochel kamifli. The whole point over here is you're not using the liquid for the liquid's sake. You're using the liquid for the solid sake, to make something for the solid. Right, inami mashka ala ochel mashka hu hanimi lehechad kasarif lei inami shasar meiripta the Torah's mashka of it aval tzachso pligi. But what you hear is that you worry. There's a distinction, is because you are just using the liquid to beautify the salad. Is that considered a mashka or not?
We learned before that even if the drop of the liquid comes out, it doesn't make a difference what it's for. As long as you want it,
right?
It's good.
Yes, I guess they're limiting that. I don't know.
What?
Sounds like they're limiting that to different situations.
How? He wants it.
But he wants it for a non-liquid purpose.
That doesn't make a difference.
It clearly does.
It clearly does.
So, it's not it, no. Amar Rabbi Zeira, Amar Rav Chiya Barashi, Amar Rav. Sochin Adam Eskol Shalanabim Lisochakadera. You can squeeze the grapes onto a salad and put it into the tafshil. Avol tocha ka'ara, but you can't squeeze it into the bowl, like we said before, same thing with Shmuel. And he also says Vidag Lahoti, but you can squeeze the fish to get the brine out of it even into a bowl, because we're assuming that the brine is considered a food, it's not considered a liquid. Okay. So Yosef Rabdimi Vika'amali Lahai Shemaita. So Rabdimi said this halacha. Amrle Abayil Rabdimi, Rabbi says to Rabdimi, Atun Mishmei de Rav Masnison, you learned this brisa in the name of Rav, right? Below Kashluchu, therefore you had no kashas. Anan, but I Mishmei de Shmuel Masnison, I learned this Nemra in the name of Shmuel, and therefore the Kashulan. And I can ask a question on Shmuel, Umi or Shmuel. How does Shmuel say, Dagat Siro Futokara? How does he say that he's by Itmar with the following brisa? Kvashim. Okay, kvashim are some sort of vegetables that are pickled in vinegar, I think they're pickled, right? Shesachatan, that you squeeze them. Okay, so wait a minute, you squeeze that and you got the liquid now out of the vegetables. So Rav says, fun if you squeeze them because you want to eat the vegetables and you want to get rid of the liquid, it's mutter. You gotta do that on Shabbos. You gotta deal with the Bora issue, but it's in mutter. But the Mimeyem, if you squeeze them out because you wanted the vegetable juice, I guess you want some sort of sauce out of them, then it's putter. It's not going to do it, but it is putter. It's not really mefarik because the liquid is not actually part, it's not inside, it's not part of the vegetable, they're going to say, but still it's putter aval aser, right? Ushlakos, but this is vegetables that are cooked in water. Bein lekufon, bein lemeyen, mutter. You'll have to squeeze them out no matter what on Shabbos. These are boiled, right? Ushmul amar echad kivashin, the echad shlakos, legufon mutter, lemeyen, putter aval aser. So what's the question? So the schita of the dag litziro, right, is similar, I guess, to the schita of the sauce. So why, when it comes to the sauce, does he say, Shmuel say that you're not allowed to do it, but by the dag he says we can, right? Where it says Amalei, or Jesus says to buy Elokim. What are you talking about? Einai ra'u v'lo zar, right? Mipumei de Rav Yirmi Yashmielei, Rav Yirmi made me Rav Zeira, Rav Zeira made Rav Chiyu Barashi, Rav Chiyu Barashi made Rav. This fish in is not, you heard from Shmuel, it's not true. Shmuel didn't say it. You're right, if Shmuel said it, you would have a kasha. Shmuel did not say it, it's a member from Rav, so you don't have no kasha. You're just like, oh, I heard from Shmuel, they have a kasha. You didn't hear from Shmuel, you misheard. He did not say that. Okay, Gufa, we're going to go talk about this, right, sir? Kavashim Shichatan, right, so you had these yarukos that are sort of pickled, that Amar Rav said legufan mutter. If you squeeze them out to eat the vegetables on Shabbos, it's mutter. Limeimein, if you want the liquid on Shabbos, it's patra aval aser. Shlakos, if they're boiled, bein legufan bein limeimein mutter. You let us squeeze that no matter what on Shabbos. Shmuel Amar echadze beechadze, whether they're pickled, whether they're boiled, legufan mutter. If you're squeezing out for the sake of the food itself, it's mutter, but limeimein makes no difference. Patra v'laser, you can't squeeze out either one. Rabbi Yochanan is more machmir. He says echa kavashin v'eshek shlakos legufa mutter, but limeimein chayv chatas. You know, that's a real issue d'oraisa. So meisvei, we're gonna bring a brisa now that doesn't seem to go according to any of the three shitas. Brisa says as follows: So chatin kavashim v'shabbos l'tzorach haShabbos, avalo limotzei Shabbos. You can squeeze out the kavashim on Shabbos for the needs of Shabbos, but not for the needs of motzei Shabbos. When it comes to olives and grapes, oh, everyone says a different story. Lo yischot, you can't squeeze them, and even if you did, yimsachot chayev khatas. Now, the Mishnah's brisa here seems to state it doesn't make a difference when it comes to squeezing the kvashim vegetables on Shabbos, whether the shechita was the gufan or was for the meimehen. It comes here that even for meimehen is mutter. If you squeeze it out for Shabbos, you'll have to squeeze them out for Shabbos, no matter what. Well, that doesn't go according to anybody, because we see Kashal Rav, Kashal Shmuel, Kashal Rav Yochanan, because they each said, right, Rav and Shmuel did not permit you to squeeze out the kvashim limimehem, and Rav Yochanan said if you squeeze out you have a chakas, but they all said you're not allowed to do it, and this seems to indicate that you are allowed to do it. So Rav mitaris atamei, Shmuel mitaris atamei, and Rav Yochanan mitaris atamei. Rav mitaris atamei, he's going to say as follows: Sochatin, this is how you read the brisa. So chatin kvasim b'Shabbos, you can squeeze out the kvasim on Shabbos, l'tzorach ha'Shabbos, for the per Shabbos, avalo l'tzorach motzei Shabbos, b'medvar memurim, why do we say that? We say that legufan when you watch, because when you want to eat them, aval de memeyan, but if it's for the Jews, that's patrabal aser. Ushlakos. And now we make a distinction when it comes to if they're boiled, bein legufan, bein lemeyan mutter, if you want to squeeze out the boiled vegetables, you can, but if you want to squeeze out zeisiv v'anavim, that's a chayv chatas. Shmuel matar tzatameh. Shmuel will explain it this way. No. You can squeeze out the pickled vegetables, also the boiled vegetables. The medvar memurim, when's that? Legufan. That's only if you want them for themselves. Aval b'memeyem, if you're squeezing out for the juice, that is pater aval aser. But if you squeeze out zeisiv anavim, then lo yischot b'mtsocha chayv chatas. You'd be chayv chatas. And now Rav Yochanan mataras l'tamei. Sochatin kvasim mitzorach Shabbos al lomot Shabbos. He says you're allowed to squeeze them out. Echad kvashim ve'echad shlakos. They're both the same. Then you can squeeze them out. But medvar memurim, it's only legufan. But memeyan, for both of them, lo yishchot v'imsacha nasek k'mishu sachat zeisim anavim chayv chatas. And what comes to say, if you squeeze them out for the juice, whether they're boiled, whether they're pickled, squeeze them out for the juice, this becomes as if it's zeisim anavim, and therefore you would be chayv chatas for squeezing them out. Okay. Now, the Gemara is going back to the shita of Rav, right? What did Rav said that legufan mutter. Right, Rav said that kvashin is legufa mutter mein pater v'laser, and shlakos you can do no matter what. Shlakos you can do no matter what. So Gemara says, Amar Chia Barashi Amar Rav, Dvar Torah, Mida Raisa, Eino Chayev, you're not Chayev, I mean, Chatos, Ela al Drichas Zesim Anon Milvad. Only if you're squeezing out olives and grapes. We've spent plenty of time talking about that the past 2 days. V'chein Tani Debe Menashe, and that's what same thing that Menashe, they said in the base medrash of Menashe, the Dvar Torah, Enochayev, Ela Al Zeisim V'Anavim V'Vlad. And they also said in the base medrash of Menashe, the Ein Eid Mipid Eid Kosher, hearsay is not kosher, you can have Ein Mipid, right? Ela Al Eidus Isha V'Vlad, except to be Matir Naguna. Rashi says, Le Eidus Isha, Lomar Le Isha Meis Balech. You're allowed to tell a woman when your husband died with one aid. Even though by Dini Mamanos, Dini Nefashos, the Dayanim have to hear the Eidus, be the Eidim itself, right? Nevertheless, Eidus are the Mises of Baal, the Matya, a woman from Iguna, they were Mekil, and they were a Kabbal Eidus Mipi Eid. I heard from him who said that he died, right? So Rashi says, the Kilube Rabban Mishum Iguna, the Kol Mekadesh Adaita the Rabban Mekadesh. Because what happens here, the way it works is not that necessarily that the Eidus is good. Everyone does kedushin. It's a daita the rabbanim kadesh. So when you have this one aid, afku rabbanim kedushin minay. When you have this hearsay witness, the rabbanim in their power, especially kedas Moshe of Yisrael, when in their power they uproot the kedushin to allow her to get married. The Rashba in the beginning of Ksuvus doesn't like that because there's a mishnah in Yavamas that says that if she marries one of the of an eid echad, which would matter an eid echad also, if you marry an eid echad and then her husband comes, she can't marry either of them, and the children are ramzerim. Now, if you say that the Chachamim were mafkia the Kiddushin retroactively, so why are the children that she had from the second marriage considered mamzerim? Because it doesn't work. If the situation very is difficult. That's what right. So he says why they. So he said. Right. She says she has to be medayif. She medayif and insibah. She checks, and if she didn't check, she obviously didn't check well enough. But that's the kasha that we're going to win. It's the first time in a couple of months we're on like a. A Nashim Sukkah, an Eidah Sukkah. You haven't heard that. Haven't heard that in a while. It's not Moksha, it's not Hatzah. It's Eid Echad. It's a different, that's going to occupy us for a bunch of years as well. Okay, Ibai Luhu. They asked us the following Shaila. Okay, Eid Mipi Eid, will Eidus Bechor Mahu. So what's the halacha? Rashi says, Bechor Biyad Kohen. Right, Yisrael gave the Bechor to the Kohen. Now, the idea is if the Bechor has no mum, you have to bring it as a korban. The Bechor has a mum, the Kohen can keep it. So the Kohanim were suspected of putting mumim in the animals in order to keep the animal. Right? Rashi says, "Bechor biyad kohen kishenasu Yisrael shalim." Yisrael gave him when he was perfect. The irulo mut bo mum, and it got a mum. And kaim lam bechoros and nechshu to Kohanim lahati mum bechor. The ein neman lomar mum zeh nafal b'me'elav v'tzorach havi edim. He has to bring the edim how the mum came about. V'armin on hasam the ishak sheil eduzo. We say there that a woman can testify. So is ein mipi ed going to be good? So he vaylu ein mipi ed bechor mahu. So Rav Ami Asher says no. He can't eat the Bechor, he's not going to be somich on this Eidus. Rav Asi, sorry. And Rav says, no, we're somich on the Eidus, and you can, the Kohen can eat it. So Amalei Rav Ami, so it's us, Rav Asi. He says, how can you be matter this? V'hatan v'ei Rav Nasha, ein A-M-P-A, kosher el Eidus, isha v'vad. A-M-P-A is only good for testimony for a woman, meaning that she doesn't stay in a guna. So Ema, so he says, we answer, no, Ema le Eidus, isha k'sheru l'abavad. No, Amy Pied also works for any testimony that a woman herself is kosher to give a testimony as well. Testimony is a wrong word here. So since the woman can give the edus about the Bechor, so too Amy Pied works. And Rav Yemar Achshar Amy Pied the Bechor. Rav Yemar had a case where it was Amy Pied about a woman of Bechor, and he said that the Kohen can keep it. So Kari Allah, Mereimar, derogatorily called him, Yemar Sori Bechora, Yemar the Matu Bechoros. And nevertheless, we also paid kosher b'chor. But Yema was right. That's the halacha. You're allowed to do that. Fine. We always have to figure out. That's such a. It's like Yema and Shari Bukhra. Mati, you're the builder. I'm okay. You are. why is that derogatory? The guy was Mati b'choros. Was Mati b'choros. Okay. Fine. The Gemara goes back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah talked about the honeycomb, right? The honeycomb that. That was, I guess, oozing out on Shabbos itself. So we learned in the Mishnah, Chalos Dvash, right? You chopped off the honeycombs on Erev Shabbos, and the honey was coming out of them on Shabbos. The Chachamim said that you are not allowed to eat them on Shabbos, and Velozer was matir to have the honey on Shabbos. Ki Asar Rav Hoshea min Harda, where Rav Hoshea came from the Harda, Asa va'aisa masnis the biyadei, he came with the following rice in his hands. Zesim ve'anavim shiriskon me'erev Shabbos, if you have the olives or grapes, that I guess you squeeze on Erev Shabbos, the Yotzumei Atzvan, and it's coming out itself on Shabbos, Asurim, you're not allowed to drink them on Shabbos, because we're worried that you may squeeze them b'yadayim on Shabbos. Rabbi Lazar, Rav Shimon Matirim, Rabbi Lazar and Rav Shimon on Matir. So Amar Rav Yossi says, Gavra Yaseira Aslash Minin, why are you coming to teach us that, also that Rav Shimon says that you're allowed to do it? We already know from the Mishnah that Rabbi Lazar holds that you can what squeezes out you can have. So you can tell me, oh, Rav Shimon says also, what's the purpose? What are you doing it for? Well, you just bring another name? We know the sheet already. So Amar Le Yavaye Tuva Kamashma. No, his Bichivish comes over here. The Imi Masnisin, had it just been from our Mishnah, right, from Rav Elazar in our Mishnah, Havimino Hasam Hu, there, Dafka, that you are allowed to have the drink that sheet that holds that you can drink the Dvash. Why? Hasam Hu, Demi Karu Uchlo, Vasov Uchla. Because the Dvash doesn't change status. It's not really ochla, because dvash is one of the shiva mashka. So I'm not sure what the Gemara says here that's ochla. He says dvash is ochla, ulvasof ochla. Originally, when the dvash is in the chalos, it's considered ochla. When it comes out, it's an ochla. It's the same thing. You're not doing anything. It doesn't change its status, I guess. I don't know how you call it ochla. That's what bothers me. You know. But aval hacha, when it comes to the zesim and anavim, to mikara ochla, ulvasof mashka. In the beginning, the juice right before the Mishnah. The juice is ochel, and then when you squeeze it, it changes its status into this juice. So maybe you would say emelo. Maybe in that case, the Elazar and Shimon would not be matir. Kamash malon that even by zeis and oven that were squeezed out before Yom Shabbos, and that those juices come falling out on Shabbos, that sheet still allows you to do that. So in other words, when I brought Elazar and Shimon, it's not the same sheet in the Mishnah. It's teaching me a new chiddush din different than the Mishnah. Therefore, I'm allowed to bring another person. I'm not just repeating the same halacha with another person. It's a new halacha, and therefore I can have another person come in here. Okay. Okay, now the purpose would have started, so I'm not exactly sure what else is going on. So, now, the Mishnah's talking about, I think the Mishnah quotes over here, about the halacha of Bishul Achar Bishul. So, the Mishnah says, Kol Shabbat B'chamin Me'erev Shabbos, anything that was cooked on Erev Shabbos, and I guess cooled off, Shorin, you can soak it B'chamin B'Shabbos. You can soak it in hot water on Shabbos to warm it up. There's no concept of Bishul, because Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. Right, Rashi says, Kol Shabbat B'chamin Kol Meshnit Bashel, meaning it was cooked. Shorin also B'chamin K'dei Shiyinamuach, I guess maybe you want to melt it or it got congealed, right? But then he says, V'chol Shaloba B'chamin, any food that was not cooked Me'erev Shabbos, I guess some sort of meat or something like that, Me'tichin also B'chamin B'Shabbos, you may rinse it off with hot water on Shabbos, but I guess you can't soak it, because if you soak it, it comes to, you could cook it, but if you rinse it off, I guess they were able to eat this sort of raw. So if you just rinse it off, that was okay. Rashi says, Kol Shaloba B'chamin, you can go Basar Yavish, Sha'ochno Sochai, some sort of jerky. Ayadei Hadchak, you can eat it raw. Madichin Oso, you can rinse it. Velo Arminin Zeu B'shulo, don't say that's its cooking. Avalo Shorin, but you can't soak it, because that's going to be its cooking. Chutz Min HaMaliach HaYashon, some sort of Maliach Yashon, that's some sort of fish that was salted for over a year, right? And Kulyas HaEspanim, famous fish. Especially the Spanish mackerel, I think that's how they translate it, right? This special type of fish, that you're not even allowed to rinse it on Shabbos, because since they're so salty, the rinsing and the salt combined is going to make it shahadach hasad zohi gemar melachton. That's how you finish the cooking process with it. Right, Rashi says, chutz min ha-maliach yashan, dag maliach shashana sha'avra, u'kulai es ha-espanyin, shame dag, it's the name of fish, so ochen oso machwas melacho al-yidei hadacha b'chamim. Because it's so salty, you just have to rinse it with hot water. V'hana chafilu hadacha nami lo, even sprinkling it with, rinsing with water, no, shazeu gemar melachton ha-vibishon. It's a weird lashon. The gemar melachton almost sounds like machi l'patish, but the gemar melachton here makes it into, it's a bishon. Okay. The Gemara is now going to talk about the first halacha of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that anything that was cooked before Shabbos, you can put it in hot water on Shabbos because we have the concept of ein bishul achar bishul. So kagon mai, right? What type of, give me an example of a food that was cooked and then you can soak it in water and this would work. So Gemara answers Amar of Safra, kagon tarnigolta de Rabbi Abba. The type of chicken in the house of Rabbi Abba that they would cook it, right, for a long time. And I don't know, then they would drink it. Right? He says the Tarna Gold Rabbi Abi Mivashla Vishora Osu Yamim Rabbi Mukhamim Limchos Me Elea Vaokla Rafua. They would mivashal it and make some sort of soup out of it for a long time, and then they would drink it or eat it for a refuah. The Amr of Safra, Safra said, Zim Nachad the Iklis Lahas. The one time I went to Rav Abba's house, Vaokhlamine, and I ate this chicken, the lo Rabbi Abba the Ashkayan Khamr by Klasa Tarfi, had he not given me some good wine, right? It nasi, I would have vomited. It was disgusting. So here's a raya that if you're having bad food, just have some good wine and you'll be better off.
I agree.
I didn't think I'd have an argument from you. Okay. Now, Gemara is going to bring a similar idea. Rav Yochanan raik mikutach debavli. Rav Yochanan, I think he would vomit it from eating kutach habavli. Kutach habavli was just a disgusting food, I guess. It's like a moldy bread with some whey or something like that. I think it's a moldy bread and whey. That's how they had that. That was the type of condiment that they had. They used to dip it. It comes up a lot in Shasta, kutach habavli. Right? Amar Rav Yosef said, Vilirok anan mitarnagolta de Rabbi Abba. I can also spit it out from the tarnagolta de Rabbi Abba. Va'od Amar of Gaza, Zim Lecha de Ikul Lahas. Someone said, "Eretz Yisrael, Avi Kutach Habavli, Shilu Minei Kol Brichim Rabba." He says, "No, Kutach Habavli is great. I brought this dish to Eretz Yisrael. They all wanted the recipe. All the sick people in Eretz Yisrael begged for the kutach. It made them better. Doesn't mean it wasn't disgusting. Maybe it was good medicine. Good medicine. You know, doesn't mean it was good food.
Yes, probably penicillin.
Right. It wasn't the bubblegum flavor. You know, it was the other flavor. All right. The Gemara now is talking about somebody who went ahead and he rinsed the kulyas ha-espanyin. These things are called kali habishal. Right? They're easily cooked. So we say koshaloba b'chamim erev Shabbos v'dichos over Shabbos, except for the kulyas ha-espanyin. So hediyach mai. What happens if you went ahead and you did rinse this Spanish mackerel, right, with chayim? What's the story? So Amar Rav Yosef, Itiyah Chayv Chatas. So the Raisa, that's the Bishul. You Ravashal, it's the Raisa. Amar Mar Bered Ravina, Afanan Namitin, I also learned, Chutz Mi Maliach Yosho V'Kuris Ha'Ispanin, Shehadach Hasan, Zoi Gmar Malacha. That's our Mishnah. It's the Gmar Malacha, that's the Bishul. If you go ahead and you take something that's Kalei Bishul, right, and Kalei Bishul comes up also in the Klisheni things about different things, but you know, even though we say ein bishul achar bishul, if something's a kali bishul, sometimes you say that it has bishul achar bishul. And here we say that this kulyas ha-espanyin, rinsing it is considered a bishul, even if it's normally we say rinsing is not bishul, but for here it is bishul. Okay, now some agadah. Yosef Rav Chiya bar Abba Rav Asi came to Rav Yochanan. Rav Chiya bar Abba Rav Asi was sitting in front of Rav Yochanan. And Yosef Rav Yochanan coming out name. And Rav Yochanan was sitting there and he was dozing off. That also comes up a lot. Amar le Rav Chiya bar Abba Rav Asi. So Rav Chiya bar Abba said to Rav Asi, "V'nei ma ofel shel Bavel shemini? Why are the birds in Bavel fatter than the birds in Eretz Yisrael?" So Amar le Rav Asi back to him, "Kalech lemid bar Aza ba'arich shemini." No. Let's go to the Gaza desert and I'll show you birds that are fatter than them. Meaning, I can find you birds in Eretz Yisrael that are just as fat. So I don't know what I'm saying, what that means, but I don't know what that means. All right. So then Rav Chiya bar Abba asked again, "V'nei ma mo'adim shel Bavel shemichim? Why are the holidays in Bavel more filled with joy than they are in Eretz Yisrael?" Meaning, Rashi says, why are the Jews in Bavel more besimcha than the Jews in Eretz Yisrael? Which I'll say it's probably the opposite. But why is that the case? So Rav Asa answers, Mipnei, because the people in Babel are aniyin, shehein aniyin. So they save up everything for the Yom Tov. Any other question? Mipnei ma tamid chachamim shebabel mitzuyanim. Why are the Torah scholars in Babel wear such beautiful clothing, while the ones in Eretz Yisrael don't wear these beautiful clothing? So he says, Lifnei shein bnei Torah. He says, no, the reason is because the people in Babel are not bnei Torah. They may be telling bnei chachamim, but they're not bnei Torah. Because in order, I guess Rashi says, in order to get proper kavod, they have to wear these. They have to wear the special clothing. But without the clothing, people don't respect them. Maybe that means that, you know, sometimes, you know, respect is either bought or earned. And here they had to buy it. I don't know. But Chia, follow the question: Mipnei ma ovdei chachavim mizohamim? Why are the ovdei chachavim impure? Rashi answers: Mipnei she'ochlin shkatzim ramasim, because they eat the, you know, the creepy crawly things. So Rabbi Yochanan now wakes up. Itbar behu Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan wakes up and he says, Amar lehu, he says to them, Dar dikei, my children, lo kach amarti lechem. This is not what I said to you. The pasuk says, Amor lechachma achosi at. This is pasuk in Mishle. It says, say to wisdom, you are my sister. Imbar lecha ardavik achoscha. If something is so clear to you, like your sister, shehi asur lecha omeyu, then you can say it. If you know something clearly, if what you're saying is as clear to you as the halacha, that your sister is usher to you, you can say it. V'imlav lo tomrei. But if you're not so certain, don't say it. So that basically, why are you saying all these things, which you have no idea what you're talking about? So he says, so amrelei, v'leim elan mara is a man. So you tell us, you answer the questions for us. This is what we thought, you tell us to answer them. So Rabbi Yochanan goes ahead. V'pnei ma opa shebavol shmeinim. Why are the birds in Babel fatter than those in Eretz Yisrael? V'pnei shelo galu. Because unlike the birds in Eretz Yisrael, they were not exiled. They go to exile, which means what? They didn't lose their fatness. Because the pasuk says regarding those who never went into galus, Sha'anan Moav minu urav v'shokid hu al shimerav u'bagolo alach. Moav has been tranquil from its youth, and it rests quiet upon bless. Into exile it has gone, and then the end of the pasuk says, therefore its flavor has remained. And if you didn't go into exile, it stays the same. So exile, going to galus, undermines the existence for those who people who suffer from the exile. So the birds who didn't go into exile, they stay fat. The birds from Eretz Yisrael, they went out and they just came back, so therefore they're not as fat. But how do we know that the birds here in Eretz Yisrael once weren't the galus, so now I guess they came back? So the Tanya, because we learned in the Braisa, the Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Chamishim Mishtayim Shana Lo Over Ish Yehuda. For 52 years, I guess the first 52 years after the Chorban Bayis Rishon, nobody passed through Judea. Right, he says, you know, these are 52 years that passed from the exiles and days of King Sidkiyah until the time that Cyrus, king of Persia, gave the Jews permission to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so for 52 years, nobody walked there. Shenemar, as the pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, Al Heharim Esa B'chi B'nehi, Me'of HaShemayim V'Adahema Nadadu Halchu. Upon the destruction of the hills, I will raise up weeping and wailing from the bird of the heavens until the beast all have wandered and gone. And Behema B'gamachia Chamishim V'Tartin Hanu. The word behemoth has a gematria of 52, which alludes to the fact that Eretz Yisrael was basically abandoned. Nobody was there for 52 years. So you see that everything, including the birds, went into galus. So now the Gemara says, Amar of Yaakov, Amar of Yochanan, Kulan Chazru, everything came back to Eretz Yisrael, Chutz Mikol Yisai Spanyan, except for the Spanish mackerel. The Amar Rav, as Rav said, Hani Madre de Babel, Mahadre Mayel Ein Etam. I guess the slopes of Babel, the way the mountains are, the water goes back to Ein Etam, right? The water that runs down into the Euphrates flows into Ein Etam, into other springs that go into Eretz Yisrael, so it slows down. But the Spanish mackerel, Cava de los Shari Shidre, it's not lo matzi selik, it can't swim this route, so it can't. That's how the water was getting back, and the Spanish mackerel from Babel can't swim this route down, and therefore it never went back from Babel to Eretz Yisrael. Okay. So now the Rosh continues on the questions. Why are the holidays in Babel more happy than those in Eretz Yisrael? It says, because those in Babel were not included in that certain curse that lessened the joy of the Yom Tovim. Diksiv, because it is written in Hoshaya, right? Diksiv is regarding the punishment of Bnei Yisrael. V'hishbati kol misosa chagach alcha v'shapsal chol moada. And I shall end all her joy. I'll end her festivals, her new months, her Shabbosos, and all her festivals. I'm going to end the joy. Uksiv, and then it's written, Chodcheichem O'odeichem, son of Nafshi, Ayu Lai Torah. Your new months and your holidays, my soul hates. They become a burden to me. So these psukim are addressed to the people in Eretz Yisrael. You see that their joy on the festivals was diminished. But with the Babylonian Jews, did not suffer from this klala. Now the Gemara mentions that second pasuk, "My hayu alai l'torah." What does it mean by they become a burden to me? So Amar Rabbi Lazar, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu said, "Lo dain Yisrael shechot in l'panai." It's not enough to pay Yisrael; they do sins before me. But they burden me to know which harsh decree I should bring upon them. What does that mean? So what does that mean? That they force my hand. They force my hand to do all these gzeros. So the Gemara explains. Amar Rav Yitzchak, Ein lecha kol regel regel shlo basa boleshes l'tzipori. There was never a holiday where the troop didn't come to Tzipori for plunder. Meaning, whenever they had a yontif, that Kadosh Baruch Hu always had to send the army to plunder. The Amar Rav Chanina, said, Ein lecha kol regel regel shlo basa l'tveria egmon v'kamton ubal zmora. Right, there was never a holiday in Tveria in which either a governor or a ruler or an official, someone didn't come to Tveria either to take plunder or even worse, to impose taxes. Okay, and Rabbi Yochanan then continues, why are the Torah scholars in Babel adorned with beautiful clothing while those in Eretz Yisrael are not? He says, because the ones in Babel are not native to that place, and they find it necessary to distinguish themselves from other people. The Amri Inchi, because people say, "Bimata Shema Shemai below Mata Tozvai." When in my own city, my name's enough. But when I'm not in my city, I have to wear clothing so people know what my status is. Right, so Gemara's not concerned. A pasuk that supports Rabbi Yochanan. Habayim Yisharish Yaakov Yatzisu Parach Yisrael. Those of Jacob will come, will take root. They will bud and shall blossom. Israel. Tani Rabbi Yosef. Eil Tamid Chacham of Babel. These are Tamid Chacham in Babel. They make buds and blossoms of the Torah. We see that the practice of the scholars in Babel were real scholars, not like you guys said before. So therefore, the reason that they adorn themselves is not because they're not B'nai Torah. It's because they're not recognized. They're only recognized in their place. And then the last one was Muzahamin. Why are the idolaters impure? Shalo amdu al Har Sinai, because they did not stand by Har Sinai, right? And as we said, Shabishah, Rabbi Yochanan says, Shabishah, Shabbat Nachash al Chava, at the time when the evil Nachash came onto Chava, Hitl Bazuma, he cast a certain impurity into her, right? And then Yisrael, Shamdu al Har Sinai, Paska Zuma, some B'nai Yisrael who stood by Har Sinai, that Zuma came out of them. But all the Chachavim, Shalom Dual Sinai, Lo Paska Zuma, and the impurity is not removed, therefore they still suffer from that impurity. Amalei Rav Acha Barei. He says, Gerimai, what about the Gerim? They weren't there. So Amalei, Afa Gav De'inu Lo Have, even though they were not there, Mazalayu Havu, but their Mazal was there. What does that mean? I heard once, they asked somebody, you have Jews who go off to Derech, and you have some Goyim who become Gerim. I'm not sure where the story comes from. So someone asked this Ger, he goes, I don't understand. You guys had the choice way back when, and you said no. So he said, listen, it wasn't 100%. When God came around to all the nations of the world and said, do you want to get the Torah? Majority said no. But some of us said yes, so we're coming back. And when the Jews, they said, no, they all didn't say yes. Majority said yes, so those are the ones who kept the Torah. And then after, I don't know how true that is, but it's a nice support for the guy that are coming here, but they really want to, but they were overwhelmed. Now he gets a choice to come back. Okay. Okay. That's why the first part of the is better. So Amalei Rav Acha, Rav Ashi, gave Rav Ma'is. Amalei Afal Gav, the Inu Lo Havi Maslai Hayo Dixig. So it says in the pasuk, Esasher Yeshno Imano Omed Hayom Lefnei Hashem Lekeinu Esasher Inenupo. Those who aren't even here. So even those who are only going to come later, they still were there at Har Sinai, which makes sense. What's the difference between the Ger and the kid who wasn't born yet? They weren't there, and their Mazel was there. Upligi the Rav Barakana. I mean, this whole thing about the, so here the Gerim have the same status, and from here the Gerim have the same status. Read the Kuzari. The Kuzari takes his shita, Kuzari has a pretty strong shita that there's an inherent difference between Bnei Yisrael and nations of the world. I mean, you talk about that also. But so the king asks him, well, what about the Gerim? And the Kuzari is consistent. He says, well, no, they're not on the same status. That's what the Kuzari says. So
they're not allowed to marry a coin.
No, well, that's halachic issue. I'm just talking about it from a spiritual, whatever. In certain communities, they don't even accept Gerim. I mean, Uplei Rav Abba Bar Yehanna. Says in the Torah, he's supposed to love the Ger. So, Uplei Rav Kahana, Amar Bar Kahana. Kahana said, Amar Rav Abba Bar Kahana, Shlosha Doros Lo Paska Zuma Me'Avaseinu. Not until three generations had passed did the impurity come out. Avram Ali was Yishmael, Yitzchak Ali was Esav, and Yaakov Ali was Shnim Sar Shvatim, right? Shiloh Hayabem Shum Dofin. There was nothing in there because Avram had, all right, Avram had Yishmael, Yitzchak had Esav, and Yaakov was complete, and therefore, according to Adabar Abba, that the Jews were freed of the impurity before Har Sinai. So that's the machlokas, whether they were pure, it was Har Sinai that got rid of the Zuhuma, or it was when the 12 Shvatim were born, got rid of the Zuhuma. Okay, stop here. Have a great day.